What's up, my friend? Welcome to the Finding Direction podcast. My name is Stu Massengill, and I'm here every single week to bring you a passionate guest or message dedicated to helping you find your purpose so that you can live a life full of passion, fulfillment, and happiness. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for hanging out with me, and let's dive in. What's up, my friend? Welcome back to another episode here on Finding Direction. This week, I'm sitting down with Dr. Everett Worthington, aka Ev, and we had a truly enjoyable conversation all around the idea of forgiveness. To give you a little bit of Ev's background, he is one of the most known leading experts on the topic of forgiveness, and he's written over 30 books on this topic specifically. He is a Commonwealth Professor Emeritus and formerly worked at the Virginia Commonwealth University. And a few of the things that we dive into on this episode is why you should consider forgiving either yourself or forgiving others. We talk about the negative effects that unforgiveness has on you. We talk about how to scientifically start forgiving, again, either yourself or others. And Dr. Everett Worthington, he talks about his own experience as well, where his mother was actually murdered, and he talks about kind of how he was able to get forgiveness through that. It's a crazy story you'll hear about. And we also talk about how he went from being an engineer to all of a sudden someone who was studying and, again, being a leading authority on the idea of forgiveness. Truly, truly an interesting journey that he has taken to get to where he is in his life today. And you're going to hear all about it. So if you have not yet, make sure you hit that subscribe button so you can join us every single week on the show. And without further ado, let's dive in. Everett Worthington, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for taking time out of your life to be here with us today.
Hey, I am so glad to be with you, Stu. I look forward to this.
Yeah, me too. And, you know, I figured as we kick this thing off, if you could give our listener just kind of a little bit of a background as far as who is Ev, as you like to call yourself, and what do you do?
Yeah, I am a clinical psychologist, and I'm retired now from Virginia Commonwealth University, which is one of the largest state universities in Virginia. So I worked my entire career here at VCU and do research. I did clinical practice for a number of years, and then just, you know, stay off the streets and out of trouble trying to write things.
Yeah, very, very cool. And so, you know, one of the things that you are extraordinarily well known for is this idea of forgiveness, right? And kind of everything around it. You got multiple books on it, multiple talks on it. I mean, it's a huge part of what your life work has been about. And I would love where we kind of start in this, you know, deep dive we'll take in forgiveness, just with the basic understanding, if you could share with myself and our listener, just what would you say forgiveness really is at its core?
Well, I think that there are two different kinds of forgiveness, and one of those is to make a decision about how I want to treat a person who has harmed me or offended me in some way. So I don't want to get revenge against them. I want to treat them as a valued and valuable person. But I could make a sincere decision to forgive and still be emotionally upset every time I think about this incident. So that suggests there must be a second type of forgiveness. And we call that emotional forgiveness. So that's replacing negative, unforgiving emotions with more positive, other-oriented emotions. So it turns out those two are separate. They are, you know, people can make a decision to forgive and never experience emotional forgiveness. They can have emotional forgiveness without making a decision to forgive.
Interesting. So what if you have someone that goes, like, I don't want to forgive this person for something they've done to me. And like, what do you say to someone like that? Who's like, yeah, okay, cool, forgiveness, but like, I don't want it.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great question. Forgiveness is a choice, and there are many ways to deal with injustices in our life that are very good ways. You know, I could work for justice or see justice done. I could see a person get natural consequences of, you know, hurting me or offending me. Like a guy ran me off the road once, and then he, you know, right up the hill, he gets a ticket. I don't have any unforgiveness toward this guy. You know, he got what he deserved. I could turn it over to God. I could just accept and move on with life. I could forbear. I could decide to tolerate it. All of these things are good ways of dealing with injustices in our life. And so forgiveness is one of the many ways that people can deal with this. And because all of those affect injustice, what they affect is the amount of injustice that I feel. So there's this injustice gap that I feel from what somebody harmed me. And if they apologize, that lowers the gap. If they, if I decide I'm just going to accept this and move on, that may lower the gap even more. Okay. And the size of that gap is related to how difficult it is to forgive the person. So, you know, the lower that size, the easier it is to forgive. So the different ways of bringing justice into the situation really work to help people forgive.
Okay. So a part of it is understanding that in forgiveness, if you're not quite ready, like you feel like you can forgive somebody, that like karma plays a part in it, that it's like whether you forgive them or not, karma or God or whatever we want to call it, like things come full circle, right? And if they did wrong may come to them one day, and it's almost out of your power whether you forgive them or not. And one thing I would be curious, again, just to look at this idea, because I think sometimes it seems like forgiveness can be easier said than done, right? It's like someone does you wrong or you feel, wrong. Like sometimes it can be hard. And so one thing I would really love to hear from you, and we were talking before we started recording a little bit about like the science of stuff. From all the research and things you've dove into around forgiveness, what are some of the like things that can happen if you don't give forgiveness and you hold on to sort of whatever the opposite of forgiveness would be?
So we call that unforgiveness. It's an emotional state. It's really a stress reaction. So, you know, unforgiveness kind of jacks up our stress reaction, because I may walk around thinking about it and playing it over and over in the late, late show of the mind, you know, binging as it was on unforgiveness. Stress reaction is going to have lots of effects on people's life. It's going to affect virtually every system in their body. Because the more they think about this, the more they, you know, play it over and over, the more cortisol gets pumped into their bloodstream. And that cortisol affects their cardiovascular system. It can shrink their brain by up to 25% if you just, you know, people marinate in it. It can affect the gastrointestinal system, you know, they can get ulcers or colitis or some kind of GI upset. It affects the sexual and reproductive system. Basically, you know, physically holding on to unforgiveness is not really good for us. And then, of course, there's the whole mental health side of things. Right. So rumination, or playing these things over and over in our mind, is what I like to think of as the bad boy of mental health, because rumination is related to anger disorders, to obsessive compulsive disorders, to depression, to anxiety disorders, to stress, post-traumatic stress disorders. You know, rumination is not good for us. And if we can forgive and get that rumination lowered, then, you know, the mental health is a lot better. Mm-hmm. And we've found in research that flourishing is actually more likely if people are not ruminating about these problems. The third area is relationships. And of course, you know, if I'm able to forgive the person who's hurt me, or if I have been the one to hurt somebody else, if I'm able to go to them and apologize and make amends and maybe yeah. ask for forgiveness, that's going to help the relationship. And all of these things are related in that better relationships, you know, make for better physical health and better mental health. So, yeah. And all of these are interrelated. So lots of bad stuff can happen if we hold on to these grudges.
Interesting. It's like, I'm sure you've heard this quote 10 million times, but someone I once heard, maybe I don't think you said it, but maybe you did, where they're like, you know, holding on to a grudge or like unforgiveness, it's like swallowing a poison pill and expecting somebody else to get hurt.
Right. It's a very, very true, very well-known quote. So many people have said that. I'm sure the origins have been lost. The first time I came across it was with Lewis Smedes back in 1984, who's a theologian who wrote a book that didn't have any theology in it on forgiveness. So, but it's been attributed to Nelson Mandela, to Desmond Tutu, and everyone that you admire in life has probably said that.
Yeah. Interesting. So one thing I'd be curious to get your take on is I do a lot of work with Tony Robbins, in the personal development world. And, you know, one of the things that I learned from him that was really impactful in my life is he talks about forgiveness in the sense of, like, if you're upset with somebody and you blame them for, you know, all the things that they did wrong to you or how they were rude to you, or all these different things, like, if you blame them for all the bad, then sort of on the same coin, or the opposite side of the coin, well, then you also sometimes have to blame them for all the good things they gave in your life. And like an example that pops up in my mind, I just finished watching the third season of Ted Lasso, and one of the soccer players on the show hates his dad. His dad was horrible, was just not a good father to him. And he has all this anger towards him, all this unforgiveness because he wasn't a good dad. He didn't treat him right, all these things. But on the other side of the coin, well, he would also have to, on top of blaming him for not being a good dad, he would also have to blame him for the drive that he gave him to be great at this game of soccer, to prove to his dad that he actually was worth something. And I'm curious, just again, from all that you've dove into in this world, like, what are your thoughts on the idea of, you know, if we got to blame somebody for all the wrong they did us, then we also kind of have to blame them for some of the good things that may have also came from it.
Yeah, I think that's a good exercise in kind of helping people put in perspective what's happened to them, so that they don't demonize the person and treat them like, you know, this is an evil incarnate. This person is a person, just like we're a person. And as a person, we do things that we don't like about ourselves and others don't like, and we do things that are good stuff. And so other people do that too. And that's a hard thing to get our heads around sometimes, especially if we have very limited interaction with somebody. So if somebody steals something from me, you know, then that's a one-off interaction. And it may have a lot of repercussions and throughout my whole life, they didn't really do a lot of good stuff. But if I'm interacting with someone in a valued relationship, then we're going to have lots of good things and lots of misunderstandings. And both of those things are important.
Okay. So if we kind of look at a different side of forgiveness. You know, we've talked a lot about forgiving others and sort of the power of that. But another part of forgiveness, and you talk a lot about this, and it's, you know, been part of your story in your life as well, is another part of forgiveness is forgiving ourselves. And I'm curious, like, what do you think is the importance of being able to forgive ourselves?
Well, I think that forgiving ourselves means that, you know, we're holding some kind of self-condemnation against ourselves. And that may be because we did something wrong and we did something that we feel is a moral violation. But sometimes it's just that we feel like somehow we just didn't live up to the standards that we had. So maybe I always had in my mind that I was going to go to medical school, but I didn't study for the test and the medical college test. And so I didn't get into med school. Well, that's not a moral wrong. I didn't do something wrong, but I didn't live up to my standards. So either way, if I'm condemning myself, I am dealing with that same stress reaction that I was talking about when somebody else harms me. Right. And that's going to ramp up that sympathetic nervous system. It's going to, you know, get my cortisol going and put every system at risk. So yeah, I think it's important to be able to responsibly forgive ourselves. So that responsible self-forgiveness is important. I don't want to just let myself off the hook. You know, I really need to make this right spiritually, whatever, you know, spiritual system I'm working with. I need to make this right socially. I need to make this right psychologically if I've inflicted a moral injury on myself. And then I can try to forgive myself.
Yeah. Can you walk us through, you've created a method called the REACH method, right? And it is basically proven, you've done all this work and studies on this, and it's basically one of the most profound methods when it comes to being able to reach forgiveness. Could you expand upon this method? Because I think for anyone of our listener that's listening to this going, okay, there's some things I need to bring forgiveness into my life. I think this is such a beautiful way that they can start to do this, if you could expand upon it.
Mm-hmm. So the REACH is an acronym in which each letter just kind of cues the memory of someone who, for, you know, how to walk themselves through this. So R is recall the hurt. But I want to recall the hurt, not just by playing it over and over and ruminating about it, but recall the hurt in a way that E is more empathic toward the person who hurt me. I'm trying to just get into their shoes. I know that I've hurt people, and I almost never have gotten up in the morning and said, I think I'll ruin this person's life today. Yeah. So, you know, usually people hurt us and they didn't mean to do that. It just didn't work well. Every once in a while they do mean to do that, but that's rare. But if I can empathize with them and see things from their point of view, it helps me to be able to then move toward an altruistic gift of forgiveness. So I say it's altruistic. It's a gift that they don't deserve. People who hurt us don't deserve forgiveness. Yeah. But it is something I can do out of kindness. I can give this gift, and I might even communicate it to them, but I don't have to. I can see it as a gift that I'm given, even if they don't realize that they've received that. And then C is commit to the forgiveness that you've experienced. So we've got R, recall the hurt, E, empathize, A, altruistic gift, C, commit to the experience, the forgiveness you've experienced, so that H, you hold on to that whenever you doubt that you've forgiven. And there will be times when, you know, we get upset with a person or we're in a bad mood and we get to thinking about it and it comes back and feels like, I must not have forgiven. No, I did forgive. You know, this is my body just saying, hey, you got hurt here. You could get hurt again. Better be careful. So that's the core of that method. And with self-forgiveness, we apply that to ourselves after we've taken those three steps to make it responsible self-forgiveness. But in forgiving others, that's kind of the core right from the beginning.
And how would you say someone like for C, when you commit, what are a few ways people can, how do you commit to forgiveness?
One of the ways, I want to commit to at least an audience of one, that's myself. So, I could write myself a note today. I decided to forgive so-and-so and, I experienced emotional change. But I could kind of up the ante. I could tell the person. Now, that's a really risky thing, especially if they didn't ask you to tell them. Mm-hmm. Because if I say to someone who's hurt me, well, I've forgiven you. What's in parentheses there is you hurt me, you dirty, rotten scoundrel, but I am taking the moral high ground and forgiving you. So, initiating telling someone that you've forgiven them is not always a something that I would recommend to people.
Okay.
But if this is my wife and I've hurt her feelings, well, I do want to tell her, that I've forgiven her, because we have a relationship where we know we've each, over the 53 years we've been married, have hurt each other, and we've forgiven each other for those times. So I have to use my good judgment about telling somebody else that I forgive them.
Okay, cool. What do you think are some of the biggest misconceptions people have when it comes to forgiveness?
I think maybe the number one is that if I forgive this person, then I have to get back and reconcile with them. And I think that's a misconception. Forgiveness happens inside my skin. It's a decision that I make. It's an emotional change that I have towards somebody. But if someone has it out for me and they're going to hurt me tomorrow, I may not want to reconcile and get back in a relationship with them if I can avoid it. If this is my evil boss, then I can't avoid them. I'm going to try to minimize the amount of negative interactions I have, with that person. But I can't totally avoid them. But if this is somebody that is not in my top 10 people of all time, I may decide I don't really need this relationship.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha. So you don't need to reconcile with the person. You can forgive for your benefit and then move on with your life.
Yeah, and there are a number of other kinds of misconceptions that people have. One that people often have is, well, if I forgive, that means I'm giving up any hope of justice. And this is not right, because justice is something social and societal, whereas forgiveness happens inside my skin. So my mother was murdered back in the 1980s, and I was able to forgive the young man who did that with a home invasion. But, if he were brought to justice, if he were brought to, if he were caught and brought before the justice system, justice would go on regardless of whether I've forgiven him or not. Forgiveness doesn't stop justice. Yeah. It's in a different realm, on a different playing field, if you will.
Okay. And what would maybe one last misconception you see pop up about forgiveness?
I think that probably another is if the person doesn't apologize, then I don't have to forgive him. well, I don't have to forgive anybody anyway, you know? I mean, it is a choice that I can make.
Yeah.
And certainly, if the person does apologize, it makes it easier because I know that's hard to apologize. So it reduces that injustice gap.
Gotcha.
But even if the person is a total jerk, you know, and says, well, I didn't do anything wrong. You're the one who did things wrong. Yeah. You know, and my injustice gap gets bigger. I can still forgive that person. Yeah, I can forgive anything in principle. And in principle is important because sometimes that injustice gap, the person can hurt me or offend me so many times that injustice gap, it looks like a 50-foot fence that I'm supposed to leap over. I can't get there.
Gotcha. Very, very cool. So if we switch pages a little bit, I would love to dive into kind of your story for a little bit. And, you know, obviously this work is something you've done for a long time now. And I'm curious, you know, as you kind of took your first steps into your professional life, you know, did you go into college and say, I'm going to study forgiveness for the rest of my life? And is that kind of what you saw for yourself or early on in your career? Like, what do you want to do with your life?
Yeah, I'm not sure I know very many people that set out 18 and said, boy, I've got a mission in life and I'm going to live it out until I get to be 78 or whatever. I got my bachelor's degree in nuclear engineering at the University of Tennessee.
Interesting.
And then I got a national fellowship in nuclear engineering and got a degree, a master's degree at MIT in nuclear engineering. And I got admitted into Harvard Business School. So my plan, you know, this is like, oh, yeah, this is the way that I'm going to go for the rest of my life, is I'm going to be a technical manager. I'm going to, be the head of Stone and Webster Engineering Corporation worldwide, you know. Well, things happen, you know, the plans, best laid plans, often kind of glide, as they say, and Vietnam War came along, and so my draft number was really high, and so I was going to get drafted. So I joined the Navy, and in the Navy, I taught nuclear physics and nuclear reactor physics. You see how it's such a straight line to forgiveness. This is just like,
that's crazy.
So I taught nuclear physics, and the young men that I was working with, because back then it was all, the services were all men, but the young men were very stressed. They're super bright, but they didn't always have a lot of education. And if they failed that nuclear power school, which was really hard, they're learning like calculus and things like that with an eighth grade education. But if they failed that, they got sent off to Vietnam, put on a destroyer and sail around the Tonkin Gulf and get shot at. Well, a lot of stress there. So I ended up doing a lot of kind of informal counseling and found out, wow, I really like the counseling, and I like engineering, and I like management, but I really like this counseling. And so I went back to school and got a PhD in counseling psychology, and that set me on the road to doing research and teaching and doing practice in psychology. So,
wow.
Of course, I didn't jump right into forgiveness research right away. I studied pain control. So, again, a really straight line. But it turned out,
I was going to say, quick question for you as well, just to clarify that I have it right. So you went and you did all the way up to through your master's for your engineering. And that was probably what? 8 years of schooling?
No, it was 4 years at the University of Tennessee and then one at MIT. It's like 15 months. I actually got the degree when I was in the Navy officially.
Okay. And then when you pivoted, you went back to get your PhD, and that was another four years?
Yeah, that was 4 years. So I was in the Navy as an officer for 4 years, and then I went back to school and was in the PhD program for 4 years. And then came directly out of the PhD program to VCU.
Okay. And I think it's just a beautiful thing for anyone going through a transition in their life to hear where you did. I mean, you were so committed to engineering. This is what I'm going to do. You invested the time, effort, energy, money. And when you figured out you wanted to do something, you took a pretty bold step to the side and said, I'm going to go do this other thing. I'm not just going to try it. Like, I'm really going to go for it. And it's clearly turned into a life that you enjoy. So I just think it's a beautiful thing for, you know, maybe the right listener today to hear, okay, if you're going through a transition, you can go back to school for 4 years. You can go, you know, fully immerse and learn something totally different. And it'll set a total different trajectory for your life that's going to make you a lot happier. So I think just kind of wanted to touch on that for a second. But if you want to dive back into, again, kind of where forgiveness eventually finds its way into your life.
Yeah. I mean, your observation is good that I, you know, so many people go through these major transitions, especially, you know, so many people get their 4 years of college and then they get out and the first job that they have, they don't really like. A few people like their first job. A lot of people make changes right there. And I think the blessing for me was that I enjoyed the engineering. I enjoyed the management. I had gotten to practice that in the Navy. But I really enjoyed the counseling. And when I was weighing them up against each other, it's like, oh, this is a choice between good stuff, you know, among three good things.
Yeah.
And that's a little different type of choice than if I'm escaping from something I really didn't like. And, you know, I kind of feel sometimes like I'm pressed to settle.
Yeah.
And I was not settling. I was choosing something that was just really fun and enjoyable to do. And really, it helped other people too. I mean, in engineering helps other people too, but in a different way.
Right. Yeah.
So I did research in like pain control for probably about 12 years, 10, 12 years. But I was supervising a therapist who was seeing a couple. And I developed a kind of a couple treatment program called Hope Focus Couple Therapy. And this couple wasn't getting any better. And so I said, Don, you know, why aren't they getting better? And he's like, well, you know, we've taught them all the stuff, you know, about conflict resolution and communication. So, but they just hate each other. They've got all these hurts they've accumulated for like 20 years, and they hold grudges. And I said, well, Don, we need to kind of create an intervention to help them forgive. Well, this is back in the 80s, and Don, you know, it wasn't like it was today. You know, saying the word forgiveness back then was like saying religion. And, you know, so Don goes, whoa, can we do that in a secular university? And I said, well, sure, we can do that. We won't tell anybody. We'll just do it, you know. So we did. We sat there and we made up this a little intervention to help them forgive it. It turned out it worked well.
That's awesome.
I eventually wrote it up. And then a graduate student, right, just the month it got published, this little clinical article on forgiveness, this brilliant graduate student showed up named Mike McCullough. And Mike, you know, says, that's what I want to do research on. And so I'm like, okay, well, I don't really do research on forgiveness. That was more clinical, but okay, yeah, we'll do that. And so Mike would come and he would, this back when you had to go over to the library, actually, to find old articles. So you'd come back covered in dust, you know, and coughing. And I found this article. He would tell me about the article and I would look at him and try to pretend that I understood what he was saying. Yeah. And then, you know, but at the end, I was like, okay, I got to go to the library and get that article so I can keep up with this brilliant graduate student. Well, it turns out then right after him, another graduate student, Steve Sandage, who's an endowed professor at Boston University right now, Steve came. He wanted to look at forgiveness. Then Jennifer Ripley, endowed professor at Regent University, came. She wanted to look at forgiveness. Man, after three trips a week over the library, I'm like, I've had it. You know, I better learn this stuff.
Yeah.
So here is something, you know, for, you know, I mean, these students transformed my life. Keeping up with them. We usually think it's the professor who has all the one-way input, pouring knowledge and wisdom into the young mind. No, no. You know, it's most of the time the young person who has energy and passion who is, you know, influencing this crusty professor, you know, okay, well, I'll keep up with this bright person. Yeah. So, I just have always felt like I've had the best graduate students in the world, and I can make a case that I have had the best graduate students in the world, but they really have influenced me at least as much, if not more, than I've influenced them. So that's something to hold on to. You know, we can influence our mentors, not that we try to, but it happens. Yeah.
I love it. It's so cool. And it just seems like in your life, you've been very, you've had a lot of awareness around, you know, yourself, and these things would pop up into your life. Let's try forgiveness. He's like, what the heck is forgiveness? You know what I mean? It's like, but you just kind of let things come to you and go with them and followed your energy and had awareness around it. And it's beautiful. And I think another great reminder for any listener and for myself to just remember, hey, when things pop in, bring your awareness to the surface, see what's lifting your energy, see what's making you curious. And if you just follow those things, you know, things work out most of the time.
Yeah, I think it's that curiosity. I think you hit the right word there. It's like if we can stay, you know, curious about all the things that flow past us, then, you know, we're going to follow really interesting things in our life.
Yeah.
And some things don't pan out. Some things do. And boy, it's nice when they do.
Yeah. Very, very true. Well, Ev, it has been beyond an honor to hang out with you, pick your brain, learn about your story and all the wisdom that you have within your head. If our listeners go, man, I need to hang out with this guy more. I need to, you know, see what you're up to more or just learn more about your work. Where's the best place that they can find you and kind of get more plugged in with what you do?
Yeah, probably the easiest place is my personal website, which is evworthington-forgiveness.com. And that has my email on it. And cool. And so, you know, hey, I'm addicted to email. I admit it, but you know, I'm on it all the time. So, you know, and I answer a lot of emails. So that's a good way of connecting.
Okay, perfect. And my last question for you, a question we ask all of our guests, because we want to help our listener find direction, but we believe in doing it through action, is what would you say is one thing our listener can do in the next 24 to 48 hours to start finding direction in their life?
Well, this is totally not original, but, you know, I mean, self-reflection, you know, and thinking about what is my passion? What, you know, I am a firm believer that it's not rationality that directs our life as much as it's passion. Mm-hmm. And I think that's borne out by science. Daniel Kahneman, who is a cognitive psychologist, says that about 90 to 95% of all of our cognition, all of our mental activity is intuitive, is implicit, is something that kind of seems to just happen. Only about 5 to 10% is rational, sit down, logic this thing out. And so, you know, I think self-reflection and giving yourself a kind of a permission to think expansively would be something to just sit for 20 minutes in a chair and yeah. think about your life and what really drives you, what jazzes you, you know, what gets you going. And, you know, that may be within what you're doing right now. And so it just gives your, you know, more jet fuel to where you're going.
Yeah.
But you may find that you're headed toward MIT in engineering and you really, you know, want to head someplace else to counseling.
Yeah. Heck yeah. Well, Ev, thank you again so much for coming here today. It's been an absolute joy to have this conversation with you. And we really appreciate you being here. So thank you.
Great fun.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Steve.
Congratulations, my friend, on crushing it through another episode here on Finding Direction. I hope you give yourself a pat on the back, a round of applause, because you are one of the few who is not willing to settle for less than a life that lights up your soul, and that is absolutely something worth celebrating. As always, I want to say thank you so much for joining me on today's episode. I hope you took something from Ev, and more importantly, as always, I hope you apply it to your life. And one thing I just want you to ask yourself is there something that you need to forgive yourself? Is there someone that you might want to consider forgiving? And if there is, make sure you take some of the ideas Ev talked about today and use those to start having more forgiveness in your life. And on top of that, if you know someone else in your life that could use a little bit of forgiveness in their life, I just want to encourage you to send them this episode, because I really do believe from my heart of hearts that this can bring some peace, some resonance, some just better quality life to that person once they hear, again, kind of the deep dive that we took on forgiveness with Ev on today's episode. So share that with someone that you know. If you have someone that could use it, make sure you subscribe. And other than that, I will see you on the podcast soon. If you do not want to stop, don't feel like you need to. I have another episode coming up right after this that you are more than welcome to hang around for. All right, my friend, I will talk to you soon. Take care.